Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and tonight we've got a great show. We've got Broadway singer, actress Jennifer Roberts with us tonight. We're going to be playing two new Christmas songs from, I believe, a new CD. We didn't get to really touch on that, but we'll talk about it. So before we start, let's just say thank you to our sponsors, the High Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, KWV Wines in South Africa, Tees for the Times and other stuff in Clifton, New Jersey, Syntech Productions in Luca Harbor, New Jersey, Take a Break from Cancer.org for Pete's Sake, Cloison Designs in New Jersey, Think Big Picture LLC in New York, The Observer Newspaper, Kearney, New Jersey, Joey Max Cafe in Harrison, New Jersey, and GenieBottles.com. You can always go to their websites or you can check it out on ours. Oh, I believe we've got Jennifer on the line. Jennifer, is that you?
That's me.
I was expecting a 212 number. I'm so sorry.
No, I was gonna use my cell, which is 917, but I decided to use my home line because it'll be better connection.
Oh, great. Well, thank you for joining me tonight. It's such a pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, Jennifer Roberts, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good, good. I mean, your resume is a plethora of Broadway shows. I mean, my goodness. So, obviously, what are we doing these days? I mean, making incredible music, but what about acting? I mean, right now, with Broadway closed, what's going on?
Well, all theater is closed right now, and all performing venues are closed. I do like 30 different things at the same time. All my business is pretty much stopped right now. So I had the idea of starting to do some music and put it out there as first, like, Facebook videos, and then I started doing some recording in the studio. And I'm doing everything I can to stay afloat, but also to keep the creative juices going. So, every performer is going through the same thing nationwide. It's a tough time.
Mm-hmm. I know.
So
Not only for the entertainers,
entertainers especially, but I freelance a lot of things. I'm a trainer, and all of the kind of mobile work that I do, it's a traveler, it's all gone right now as well. So a lot of us are in the same boat. We're trying to stay motivated and trying to still create art, trying to put things out that encourage people. As you know, there's a lot of live stream shows going on, but I decided to do recording. I've done quite a few interviews, but I love the studio, so that's what I've been doing recently.
Right, right. Well, it's funny. I believe you and I have a mutual friend, Richard Skipper.
Yes, he's one of my very closest friends.
Oh, he's such a sweetheart, isn't he? I love him.
He's so sweet, and he's 100% authentic. And the wonderful thing about Richard is he champions all artists. He puts artists out there with little experience to help promote them and to encourage them. And then he works with, obviously, Broadway people. He was close friends with Carol Channing. He's been a great support and advocate for me and so many others. We're just grateful to have him. And he's genuine.
Yes.
It's just
it
to help
funny.
Other artists.
You came up what's it say on Facebook? People you want to know or may know or may want to know or something like that. And I saw your name and I saw something about Christmas music. And I said, oh, well, I'm doing Christmas music. Let me see if you'll come on board. And when I asked Mickey Lee, he goes, absolutely. Yeah, he said, absolutely, I know Jennifer.
Yes. I adore him. Yeah, well, he reached out and told me he's been on your show, too. And that's an honor. Yeah, he does great stuff.
You.
And I was
thank
on his
you.
Show.
Thank you so much.
I think I did his first podcast a year ago when we were doing New World Radio, I think. He was filling in for John Lombardi, I believe, and then John passed away. But that got quite a bit of interest, and Richard decided that he wanted to do more and more of the podcasts and more of the interviews. So he's kept a lot of us out in the face and the ear and the eye of the world right now. Since his produced shows where he was live on stage, all of those have stopped.
Right.
And,
you know,
people are just loving catching his daily, almost daily now.
I know. I like
shows.
To catch them. I like to catch them live. So I'm disappointed when I miss them. So I enjoy them when they're actually live instead of watching them later. So
me too. And
I have the time.
Right.
Pardon me.
I like them live too. And I was faithful watching almost everyone the first few months. And then I got to where I had to apologize. And he said, "No worry, they're on YouTube, so you can go and catch any of them later on Facebook or on YouTube now, which is nice."
Right, and that's Richard Skipper Celebrates, folks, if you're interested. So let's get back to you, young lady. So now the new music that you're doing, it's along the jazz line. I know it's, is it a jazz album?
Well, to answer your first question when you said this is a CD, I'm going to do a Christmas CD, and it might be sooner than later now because these songs that I've been recording. And I have another couple of in queue for Ted Firth, my brilliant musical director, to turn into arrangements for me soon. And also Matt Baker is going to do one for me, great jazz pianist, both of them. But I did my first CD, came out in 2018, and I did it as a gift. I wanted to share, we had been doing a live show for a period of time, and I was told on and on by different people that had seen the show, you need to make this into a CD. And income was good enough at the time that I started producing it myself. And as entertainers have, there's lulls and highs and a lot of work and no work. So it took full 2 years to finish. But I put it out in mid-2018, and it just kind of sat there. I got a 2019 MAC nomination, which was great. But then I'd hired a couple gentlemen to get it out to different radio stations, and it got some great press. It got some great reviews. It got some really good airplay. And then I started sending it out myself, and it started getting even more airplay, and it started getting even more reviews. Broadway World, Stephen Mosher did a beautiful review on it back in May this year. And a wonderful guy, wrote a wonderful review on it in Paris. A gentleman at All About Jazz wrote a beautiful review on it, all since COVID, all since the quarantine. Mm-hmm. So it's been great that it's continuing to get a lot of airplay. It's getting a lot of interest, which has been neat. But with all that time we had in the spring, I started going through old boxes of old work that I did, singing with symphonies, and I used to sing in Nashville. And I just threw the first one out on Facebook because I was able to digitize them and take them from being only VHS recordings that I hadn't looked at in years to be shareable. And they started getting so much positive feedback, and you need to do more of this, please post more. That I just kept doing it, and I realized people need music, and they need to be touched, and they need to be moved, and they need to be encouraged. So I was asked to be on the Jim Masters show maybe in September, and I decided to figure out what I could do that might encourage people, that might be a gift, and they wanted me to sing live. So I did the arrangement I sent you. It's I'll Get By, and it was written in 1928, right before when the stock market crashed. And then also paired with White Christmas, Count Your Blessings instead of Sheep, because I just got the sense from people that they're really having a hard time staying positive and looking at, you know, this is going to be over eventually, and we still have a lot to be thankful for. So I paired those, and I went ahead and do a little bit.
My hand is up. My hand is up. I'm one of those people.
Yes, dear.
I'm one of those people.
Oh, right?
Ahead,
I think
we
all are.
Yeah. I got it.
And so
I
put together a little Facebook video, and I threw it out there, and I also was going to sing it live on Jim's show, which I did. But I put the Facebook video out in case that they decided not to have me sing live or I backed out. So it was out there, and it got a couple thousand likes and plays and shares, and people kept saying, this is right what I needed right now. This is just what I needed. It's so encouraging. Thank you. Keep it coming. So I decided that what I could do is start recording these songs now and possibly create the album. So a friend of mine, Bob Levy, and I did send you a couple of his songs. His CD last year was nominated.
I couldn't access any of them. I couldn't open any of them other than Christmas Eve is here again and a child is born. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Those are the two Christmas ones, so that's okay.
No, I know. That's great.
Yeah, that's great. And I almost offered to send them to you via WeTransfer too. But anyway, those are the most important because those are the Christmas ones. But anyway, when I went in to record a song for Bob that he had written, I also asked Ted, because I had already asked him for an arrangement of A Child Is Born maybe 7, 8, 9 weeks ago. And so when he got it to me, and he had already made the arrangement for me of I'll Get By, Count Your Blessings, I thought I would try to record those when I went in to do a demo for Bob. And so when I was able to get Bob's done in an hour, then I was able to get mine done in record time, which never happens because I told you my CD took 2 years. And I got all this done in you know, 3.5 hours maybe. I decided to release them as singles. And the feedback was really good, and I had requested 2 more songs from him before you asked me to be on the show. One was What Are You Doing New Year's Eve, which I sent you. And then the other one was a Christmas one that he was not able to get to. So I think all that said, I already have a whole list of Christmas songs that I want to record. And since I'm kind of doing these one at a time, I'm thinking there's a really good chance that we'll do a Christmas album this year. And then I'm also working on another CD of the music of Sheldon Harnick because I've been doing a live show of his for a couple of years. So that's what I'm doing. I'm doing recording and inch by inch and song by song and, you know, making the most of my little limited funds and time.
Right. What show were you in before the pandemic, before they shut Broadway down or venues? What show were you doing at the time?
My own shows. So I've been doing Broadway shows for years, but I've not been on Broadway stage. I've worked with a million actors that have, and I've worked and sung and danced with many of them right before, during, and after they've been on Broadway. But I've been producing my own shows for the past 11 years, but really intensely for the past 5. And so last year we did my Sheldon Harnick show. It's a tribute to Sheldon Harnick, who wrote Fiddler on the Roof, my very favorite show, She Loves Me. And I was starting, I've been collecting his music for years, but very long story short, I realized one day that all the funny songs, novelty songs, passionate ballads, lyrical songs, all my favorite songs are written by the same man. So I asked my brilliant musical director, Ted Firth, if he would help me put together my second recent New York Cabaret show. The first one was what my CD is based on. The second one was Sheldon's show. So Sheldon came to my show a year ago in at the Beachman, Laurie Beachman Theater in New York, and we did it at Pangea. We done it at Don't Tell Mama. So we did it once in 2016, 2 or 3 times in 2018, not until 2018, and then 5 times last year with the intention of putting it on the road and really, you know, moving it on a larger scale, and then all of this happened, and we've all been kind of, as you know, grounded. So I'm creating 2 new shows, but it's very hard, honestly, for any artist to stay motivated and keep creating when you don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. It's, you know, it's a daily thing. You got to get your voice back in shape. You've got to stay physically fit. You got to get I'm focusing right now on a lot of online auditions because, as you know, the world of Broadway and musical theater is stifled. Clubs are pretty much stifled again. They were starting to open up again in New York, and then they were stopped. So I do film work and TV stuff. So I've bought new lighting, and I'm getting all my stuff tweaked to do more of the film auditioning and so forth because that's what's happening right now, and that's what I'm focusing on. But musically, I'm just going to start the recording process because my shows that I was so excited to get started were just kind of stuck. And then I did symphony work for years, and so I'm starting to create new arrangements for symphonies so that once the movement starts back and venues are open and people are paying to see, you know, symphonies and Broadway shows and so forth, I'll have my stuff ready.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned Nashville earlier. Have you delved into country music as well?
I stumbled into it. That's a funny question, but it's true. So in college, I was doing all the soprano, like Barbara Cook, high soprano solos and roles, and I did a lot of musical theater song and dance. And then when I was a junior in college, I was hired by Opryland Theme Park in Nashville.
Wow.
The first year, I was thrown into my very favorite show called I Hear America Singing, and it was American Popular Song, Great American Songbook. It was my thing. I loved it. And then the next year, they threw me into the country music show. So I had just finished doing stuff like Wonderful Town, playing the soprano, and She Loves Me, and Polly and the Boyfriend. And I was hired in Nashville to sing country music, which was hilarious because it was the one thing I hadn't done. Though I was, I grew up around like bluegrass, so I knew the sound. But I was very blessed to be on the cast album, and I learned from authentic people. I worked with Minnie Pearl and Roy Acuff a lot of legends. And then the next year I was cast a lot on the Porta Wagoner show in Nashville, and I got to be his special guest like 7 or 8 times, and I sang two songs a day. I was doing theme park, but I was also his special guest, and for each hour performance, each entertainer would sing two songs, and that was intense because just like symphony, there's one run through and then you're on, you know, and there was no second take. So I got very good at being thrown out there, and I worked with him for and even with like a Broadway show, Summer Stock, which I've done a few times, you've got 2 weeks of rehearsal. It's really intense and fast. But Broadway shows, they usually have a month or two, sometimes longer. And every show I've ever really done, there's only been a 2 or 3 week turnaround. And I've understudied shows for years where I cover a very difficult role. And then one time over the course of a year, I covered 2 different roles in the Manhattan Transfer type show. It's called The All Night Strut, where I sang half the time the alto part and half the time the soprano part. So I got really good at jumping 4-part harmony, which is very difficult. But I loved it, and I loved the challenge of learning it all. So all of that makes me the artist that I am today, because I was always learning on the fly and being hired to sing a genre. And I sang country for a couple of years, and then back into musical theater. And now what I do, like you said, is more cabaret jazz. There's always a little bit of, sometimes there's a country swing, sometimes there's a classical bend, sometimes there's a jazz, a lot of swing. You know, it's really about rhythm. And voice obviously has to change with each genre as well.
Right,
and range.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you also, when you throw your shows together and now the new CD, do you do any original music? Do you write your own music as well, or are just basically standards and the American Songbook?
My passion is finding obscure songs. I love introducing people to hidden gems and to the Great American Songbook, songs that people have never heard. And when I give them to people that haven't heard them, they're like, I really like that. What is that? And so I love to, for years, I would buy CDs all over the country when we traveled a lot. And also in bookstores, I'd find rare books and rare songs and rare sheet music. So that's my passion. I probably could write. I'm a pretty good writer. And years ago, I was a proofreader type person in one of my jobs. And so I know I can write. I know I can do it. I just have more fulfillment finding something and breathing new life into it and introducing it to people. I love old hymns. I love old carols. I love Great American Songbook. There's so many treasures, and it's really fun to put those a new spin on them or change them up a little bit, which is what we did with a song called Mean to Me, which people, it's gotten a lot of really good press, but it's also, they say all kinds of things about our rendition of it, and it's been, we did it totally different than everybody that did it in the 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s. So that's my passion, but not to say if I find a good writing partner that I wouldn't start doing it, because I'm sure I have a unique point of view. It's just time-consuming. You know, my friends that are really good writers, a few of them sit down, and I have a friend that I went to college with that she developed the gift of writing plays, Linda Ramsey. She never knew I would say this. But she told me, I went to see her one of her plays, and it was spectacular in Detroit a few years ago. And she said she sat down and channeled this entire play. And I have friends that write songs that way, but most of them, it's a craft. And when you read the biographies of all the great writers, you know, Sheldon Harnick, all of them. Oscar, my favorite, Ira Gershwin. I mean, all of them talk about how it's a craft, and Stephen Sondheim, and they all talk about how they craft the songs, and very rarely are they just drop a song drop in their minds. I bet Irving Berlin wrote that way, but I'm just guessing. But Sheldon Harnick, I do a song of his called The Ballad of the Shape of Things, and he said it was the only song he ever wrote where he woke up in the middle of the night, and he had the whole song in his brain and also all the lyrics, and it's a really funny song, and that's the first time he said that ever happened, one and only time it ever happened, and he wrote it for a friend of his. So, yeah, I just think I was never very good at playing the piano or the flute either, so I always never spent a lot of time on things that were not easy that I couldn't do really well at, It would be good for me with all this time that we've been having. I haven't had it lately, but to sit back down and work on my piano skills. But I just knew that most of the time I worked on the things that that are easier for me. Like I do a lot of voice auditions, voiceover work, acting, voice, singing. I loved acting. I used to direct high school plays too. I loved teaching young people how to act and sing and dance. I loved that. It was a great passion to teach. It's just, you know, those things came easy to me, and I felt really, it wasn't labored, and I'm afraid that writing songs might, you know, be very difficult. But I don't know, maybe I'll sit down in the next few weeks and see what comes out.
No, we got nothing but time right now.
Right, so. I do, starting tomorrow, yep.
part of my ignorance, but I don't think I've ever heard What Are You Doing Christmas Eve. Who wrote that?
It's Christmas Eve. What's the name of that? Bob's song. What Are You Doing New Year's Eve is written by Frank Lesser, and he wrote it like around 1947 as a freestanding song, not for a Broadway show. What Are You Doing New Year's Eve? That's the one that I just recorded with Ted Furth that's going to release as a single in a week or so. And he's the one that wrote Guys and Dolls and Most Happy Fella. Other one, it's Christmas Eve.
Is Here Again.
Christmas Eve is Here Again.
Yeah, that
there you go. That was written
either.
By my friend Bob Levy, who I met at the Mac Awards last year. He had written it as a Christmas Eve song or a New Year's Eve song, and he did not know that I was going in to record New Year's Eve when he asked me to do this. And I've been I did two song demos for him in the last 6 months, and he played me one that he just wrote that somebody else sang, and I said, send me a jazz one sometime. And then he wrote back and he said, because the ones I've been doing, the ones that I sent you, are more almost lyrical musical theater. They're not classical, but you definitely hear like Julie Andrews, Barbara Cook. You hear a lot of that, a little bit of maybe Nancy Lamott. The way that they're written, they're very lyrical. And so he said, I could kick myself, but I have a Christmas Eve song I should send you. It's perfect for the times we're in right now. So that's this one. Christmas Eve is Here Again. And it was really fun to sing, and I just kind of changed it up a bit. He sent me an instrumental of it, and he sent me the sheet music. And so I just played with it to make it more jazzy and more my own, and it was really fun to record. But it talks about those of us that have always been with extended family for Christmas, and this time we're alone, either just yourself alone or you and your spouse or your significant other, and it's a whole different vibe this Christmas because it's hard to get in the mood, but it's still Christmas, and we're going to do these things. It's kind of joyful, but it's also reflecting the times that a lot of us are not going to be with, you know, with our regular full family this year. So it's kind of a cool song, and it just dropped officially today.
Well, why don't we play it? I'm dying to hear it.
Sounds great.
Play it now? All right, here we
sure,
go.
Please.
Christmas Eve is here again. Jennifer Roberts. Enjoy, folks. Here we go.
Days flew by so fast, and all those Christmas Eves we've shared are memories from the Christmas Eve is here. just me and my best friend. We can share some French champagne or eggnog with a candy cane, but it's not the same. Amen. When Christmas Eve is here again. To Christmas Eve we've spent together. Old Saint Nick, he knew the trick, making his way through bad weather. Just me and my best friend. We can share some French champagne or eggnog with a candy cane, but it's not the same. Amen. When Christmas Eve is Christmas.
Wow. You know what? I just pictured the whole time a Norman Rockwell picture of Christmas, a Norman Rockwell Christmas picture.
Oh, yeah. Like, he's one of my very favorite artists.
Yeah, and that's what it made, that's what it gave me that feeling. I kept picturing the family hanging up the, either decorating the tree or everybody having hot chocolate and just being together. You know,
mm-hmm.
That was really sweet. That really soothed me. I really needed that right now, too.
Wasn't
that
a great
nice
one? I'm looking
too.
At my Norman Rockwell plate right now where the one son comes home and his whole mom is grabbing him and there's like two or three little kids and all the other relatives standing around. He's got presents in his arms and his back is to us as the family's embracing. So that's kind of what he meant by the song. It's just a different year
right.
for most of us.
Yeah.
I know, it's
and
a beautiful song, right? I'm grateful that he let me record it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And his name again, I'm sorry, what was his name again?
Bob Levy. Bob, B-O-B, or Robert, L-E-V-Y.
Yep.
And he's written a lot of songs, writes with a lot of different people, including Alex Rybak. But this one was words and music by him. And this was the Daniel May Trio playing. And then that was me. And I'm just grateful that he let me sing the song.
It was beautiful. I really did like it. It was nice. Like I said, I needed that today. You know?
Right?
It's like, can you believe it's 2 days before Christmas?
No. I don't want to say in denial, but I just sent my sister's family's box off today, which knowing the post office right now, I should say, they're going to get it in, you know, January. They said it'll go fast, but, you know, most of us have packages lost different places. But I'm behind on everything, and I think most people are.
Yeah.
It's just a different.
My thing is,
yeah.
I just don't know what day it is. You know,
me
the
too.
Days just rolling one into the other. You know, just do your thing, and you wake up, you do it again, you go to bed, you do it. It's like not leaving the house. So you know, for me, I feel like it's just one big continuation. It's just one long freaking day. You know.
that's how mine was for months. I went back to work. I'm also a freelance makeup artist, and that was gone until early, maybe one day a week in August or September, and then they canceled all of October. And then I've been working the last 4 days. I work tomorrow and then I'm done. And then last week I worked 5 days. And besides that, it's been nothing. But I wear the mask. I wear the really good mask and I social distance. we're not allowed to put makeup on anybody or anything, but we're able to guide people towards sales. It's a different world. But I'm glad I have that. But I also, because I go out, I have a destination.
What don't you do, Jennifer? It sounds like you do everything under the sun.
I have, for many years. Wow. Yeah, I started as a makeup artist right after college, and I sang and danced for a while, and then I moved back. I went back to makeup, and I would do that with TV auditions and film stuff, and then I sang all. I did it as one of my many things to float while I did all my other creative things. And what's wonderful is when one of my careers or skills seems to dry up, another one opens up. So I'm grateful I have this, but then I'll run all my grocery errands on the same day that I'm out. You know what I mean? But I was the same as everybody else for 6 months. And it was really difficult because what I'm finding even now is I'm staying up later and it's harder to get up because our clocks are off because we're not, there's no normalcy. We're not running out. We're not running our errands. And we're not having that. You know, I exercise with a class usually 5 to 6 days a week when I'm home, and I haven't done it since March. And I started doing it online at home, but it's not the same, and it was lovely to have a reason to get out by 8:45, and it was great to have something to go to at 5:30 at night. And it's like I'm just doing it at my on my own pace at home and until it got really cold walking every day. But it's just it's just everybody trying to navigate this kind of, as Richard Skipper would say, new normal we're in right now and still coming up with ways to be productive.
I haven't seen the news. Did Cuomo shut anything down, or I haven't been watching the news?
I have not been near it yesterday or today, but I did hear that L.A. yesterday was shutting down the Apple stores. Apple was shutting down things, and Cuomo was talking about closing down things again in New York. I don't know. I've been away from all news myself for about 15 hours. I was up really late wrapping gifts. And
You should come wrap these here. I don't want to wrap them. But what was I going to say? I think he wants to close the New York airport. That I think I heard. I don't know.
Wow.
From people coming in from obviously Britain or whatever. But are you a New York girl? Were you raised in New York or no?
No, actually, I grew up in the Midwest. Moved back to the Midwest, and then I've traveled for the last 20 something years. And I was always around New York and Boston, and I love the East Coast. And then I was working on the West Coast a lot. And very long story short, I was considering less than a year ago moving to New York because that's my music and I work with these great musicians is opening up in New York. I was seriously considering moving to New York this year. And then with all this happening, I was in New York all the time last year, at least 7 or 8 times. And the year before I was working around New York. And so every other day I was in the city and it's like, I've not been anywhere. I live in West Michigan in the Midwest.
Oh, well, I thought you were in New
York. No, it's good. I have worked in and around New York for many, many years, and even producing my shows, I've lived here and I've gone in. You know, it's something that I need to seriously now consider, but this year would not have been the year to move, and this is the year that I was seriously considering it. I will probably still end up there. One of my friends says, you should move to Jersey because you can look at New York and it's so close, it's 20 minutes. I've done a lot of work that puts me on the East Coast, so I'm put up in hotels and I can run in and out, and even when I've been producing my shows and my CD, I know how to time it in New York where I can stay right where I want to be, and it's $100 a night, you know, in some of the hotels. It's knowing how to get around because back in the day, you know, your New York hotels were $500 to $1,000 a night, and I stay in really good hotels right where I want to be, you know, around 57th and 45th and 35th, and like I know where everything is, and it's so easy for me just to go in and do my thing from living out. And then we were focusing honestly on putting our shows on the road and touring, and it doesn't really matter where you live. You just need to have the roots in New York to be taken seriously as an artist, you know. So I am focusing on maybe getting a New York agent in the next few months. And we'll just see what happens. But I always thought I'd go in college. My eyes were on New York, and then I ended up getting all this work in the Midwest and the South, and it's just something I thought I would do. And then I've been on the road for almost 30 years doing freelance everything, and I fell in love with travel more than I did being on Broadway, to be honest with you. I love visiting different cultures and different people and different towns, and I knew where all the Tower Records were and all the restaurants were and coffee shops and, you know, you name it, bookstores.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I thought this would be the year, but nobody's moving into New York. In fact, most people are moving out right now. So I'm going to,
we're all going to be reborn again when this is all over.
I really think so. I think art's going to take off like never before. Music, everybody's in a place where they're craving it. And everyone artistic is saying that after this, we're going to see all kinds of new, amazing expressions of art. And there's going to be a. I do too. I really do. I might start writing, as you said. But everybody has been stir crazy, and I love how everyone's putting out different kinds of art during the live streams and songs and concerts, and a lot of people are doing Facebook Lives and streaming from clubs or streaming from home, and people are coming up with creative ways to share their music and their art, and it's really been neat to see. I was supporting as many friends as I could until everybody started charging. And it's really difficult to pay everybody's, you know, tip or cover charge to keep supporting when things are so dry for everybody right now. I was able to, when we were getting that extra unemployment benefit, I was able to pay some debt down quite a bit and keep the mortgage and everything paid. And then as things got tighter and tighter, I was trying to buy people's CDs and really continuing to support the arts. But it's been more and more difficult because, you know, I have a huge overhead myself with the mortgage and car and everything. And
of course.
So I try to give them the focus of my time if I can be online and watch them. But, you know, everyone's in the same boat. I was also donating to clubs at the beginning, but it's just really difficult because no one knows when this is going to end, you know. And I think the most important thing is being there and saying thank you to people that are putting their music out. And thanks to you and Richard for entertaining, interviewing us and giving us a view, you know, an audience to share with and share our art with. It's really important.
Well, just trying to make people happy, you guys and also the listeners, honestly, and myself. This has been great for me doing the show during this time. You know, it really has. It's been wonderful.
Yeah, I'm sure. I did the gym. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, Jim Masters started one, too, at the beginning of COVID, and he's getting more and more people on, just like you. And I think it's really neat that people get the opportunity to be on and talk about their music and their art and where they come from, their background, and introducing, like you, people to new audiences and somebody that might have not heard my name before or my music or all the different people. Richard, like I said he's been on your show. There's just a need for us since we're not doing live things.
Right.
To have ways to share our
work. I was on before the pandemic. I was on before this all happened. And everybody, I love having great guests, but I can't tell you the wonderful people that have said, not right now because they have nothing to promote. And I'm like, you don't need to have something to promote. Just come and hang out and let your fans hear from you. They want to hear from you, you know?
Yeah, so, they really do. Yeah, Richard told me that you'd been on for quite a while, which is so cool. But I know everybody thinks they have to share something, but I will tell you, when I did A Child Is Born, it came to me only to ask him to make an arrangement for me because of the feedback that I was getting from throwing those old videos out that I was putting a song here from when I sang with Porter or when I sang classical. And then I realized people need this, as I said earlier. So I decided to ask Ted maybe 8 weeks ago to put together A Child Is Born because it kept coming to me. And I asked him first, if it's high enough quality, I'm going to record it. If not, I'm just going to do a Facebook video because people really love seeing your face when you sing on these Facebook Lives. But I prefer being in the studio. But long story short, I waited and I wasn't sure. And then you had asked me to be on this. And I think we had just recorded or I was just getting ready to. And I went, this is just perfect. And that's when I started thinking about I need to do the Christmas CD sooner than later because I have all these ideas of songs that I want to do. And right after I did it, I felt like it was all done the night before Thanksgiving. And my Thanksgiving was sitting on my couch with my two cats. One's a kitten and the other one was a long story, but a feral that I've now adopted. And so grateful that I had a piece of art to share with the world. That was my Thanksgiving. I was just so joyous. I had something to share because that's what we want to do. And so I sent it out to a few people like Janice Murphy and a guy named Sandy Leatham in London and Grace Black in Scotland, I think, UK. And they sent it to Andy Cahill, and all of them said, we're going to play this, and I'm so thrilled. So I was able to last Saturday listen to Andy's show, and she said exactly what I said. I'm so excited that some of our artist friends have sent us work, and I'm so excited to share their gifts to you. This is my gift to you, and this is their gift to you, and that's exactly why I did it. And it was so fulfilling to hear it. And then Janice had played mine, and Grace played them on Saturday. And then Sandy played the two Christmas ones a week or two ago. And he was going to play the New Year's Eve one yesterday and the one that you just played. But I think he said they were having internet troubles in London, which makes sense because of all that's going on in the world. So anyway, that for me was just having something right now to share and then to have people respond and want to share it. And then sharing it with an audience. So it's been really fun, and it's been really neat, and it's a little bit that I can do right now. So it's been really good.
Well, I want to play it, but I had a question for you that dawned on me while we were talking when you mentioned you were from the Midwest.
Yes.
I find that I've had a few Broadway cabaret guests on, and they all seem to come from the Midwest. Do you find that there's a lot of people from the Midwest on Broadway and doing cabaret?
Yes. Yes, for sure.
A lot of
Broadway people. My friend Karen Ziemba grew up. I dated her brother in high school and junior high. She grew up where I did. You know, she's like a Tony-winning, amazing actor, singer, dancer. Sutton Foster, who's going to be in The Music Man, also famous. Jesse Mueller, who's from Chicago, who did so many great recent shows, and tons of people in cabaret. Nancy Lamott, the great singer, came from Michigan. Passed away young. So I would say yes. My dear friend Bob Lambert, who was in Gypsy shortly after we were in college, he was in Gypsy on Broadway, and he came from the Midwest, Michigan. A lot of greats. There's so many more, and I feel bad if I forgot anybody, but those are the ones that came to mind fast. But yes, a lot of them.
I was like, when you were saying that, I said, you know what, I bet the majority of people performing in New York and on Broadway are from, like, not New York, and maybe you're at least the third person that's been from the Midwest. I know Richard is, I don't remember where he said.
He's from South Carolina.
Thank you, South Carolina. You know, but it just seems like more people are really not from New York who perform on Broadway and in the shows.
Right,
you know.
And Maren Mazey, who we lost, I think it was last year, she was from Illinois, and she used to work the little summer stock theater that's a half an hour from where I bought my house.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Jason Danley, her husband, he's from, I think, St. Louis, and he's been on Broadway and tons of things. So a lot of your talents are either from Jersey, New York, or they're actually from, you know, the Midwest, which is neat.
Yeah.
It's really cool because there's a lot of creativity.
Exactly. I would love to play A Child Is Born if you're ready for that.
I am. I'll set it up for you for 1 second.
Child Is Born.
I just want to tell you, it just came to me because there's a great Bill Evans, Tony Bennett version of it, and other people have recorded it, but it was written by Thad Jones in the late 60s, and he was a very famous composer, solo trumpeter, jazz, and he wrote it as an instrumental. And when Alec Wilder heard it, who was one of my favorite lyricists, he wrote Blackberry Winter and one of my very favorite songs, Al Goodbye. I'm not Al Goodbye. It just left me. The same thing happened to Andy when she was talking about I'll Be Around. He wrote lyrics to it later. But the tune and the lyric kept coming to me way before you asked me to be on the show, and I wanted to record it even before I knew it was going to play tonight. So that's the song, A Child Is Born. And this is a Ted Firth arrangement, and this is Ted Firth playing on piano. We've been working together for 6 or 7 years already. Wow. Anyway, he's the best in New York.
Well, let's check it out. A Child Is Born, Jennifer Roberts. I love it. Let's check it out.
Thank you.
Such a beautiful voice, Jennifer.
Oh, thank you.
It's so pretty. It's just relaxing. You know, it's just so soothing. It really is. I mean, you just
I'm so glad.
You are so relaxing me tonight. I'm usually like wired, you know. I feel so calm.
I do too, and I needed to. I've been too wound up trying to get the Christmas stuff done. After I talk to you, I got to start my Christmas cards. That's how behind I am.
Oh, wow.
But I'm glad I'm relaxed too, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, I didn't even do the Christmas card this year, so it's like I guess you are ahead of me.
Well, I've gotten less than normal, but I've still got enough that I know I got to send mine out, and it's just been something that I haven't been able to get to. I was going to do it late last night, but I had to get my niece's presents wrapped, and you know. So anyway, that's tonight.
Nice. That was so nice. A child is born. And who wrote that again? Let me write that down so I can put it in my.
Thaddeus, T-H-A-D, Jones.
Yeah.
And Alec Wilder later added the lyrics. Wilder, W-I-L-D-E-R. I bought a book that he wrote about American song. I wish I could remember the name of it. It's in the other room. But he wrote great songs in the Great American Songbook, and he wrote a book about the history of songbook, which is great. Alec Wilder.
Nice. Got it. I'm writing as we're talking. Sorry. I love both of them. They're so nice and quiet. And you know, on Christmas Eve, I'm going to play all the Christmas songs that we received from our guests this month. So I'm hoping to play both of them. I don't know how many songs this thing will hold, unfortunately. So it's a guessing game on how many let me play. So, but yeah, I decided I'm not doing anything else. So
that's
might
wonderful.
As well. So,
yeah, I'm gonna
not?
Go. If I head south, I'm not leaving till Christmas Day, and I've never missed a family Christmas but once, and that was when I was producing my New York show the same year, the very first time I did it, which would have been maybe 2002 or so, and I couldn't afford to go to South Carolina after, that's where my parents live now, right after producing my first New York show. So I'm going, but I may not get there till, you know, 9:10 p.m. Sunday night, or I'm going to wait 5-6 days and do it right, you know, protocol. I was going to quarantine at home, but they're like, come, just wear a mask, and I've been so careful. But anyway, I'm not traveling, so I will listen to your show on Christmas Eve. And if we're
great.
If not, it's okay. I'll still enjoy
no,
it.
No, no, I'll definitely get you on. I just don't know how many. I've got to see how many songs this thing holds. I might have to delete a couple of things. But what are you going to do? So I wanted to ask
That's
you,
right.
who would be your dream duet with?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. Someone asked me that. My dream. I love the sound of Brian Stokes Mitchell, you know, the Broadway. He also works with Ted.
Yeah.
I've worked with
yeah.
and sung solos or duets with Tom Wopat. That would be fun again. Michael Feinstein.
Oh,
oh my gosh, there's so many rich voices out there. I don't know, probably those three, but there's so many that are just so glorious.
I'm guessing She Loves Me is one of your top five that you
Yes, it is.
What are your top
five? It is
five?
Probably my, I even say it's probably my all-time favorite show. I did it as a 21-year-old, and even at 21 in college, we nailed it. We had a beautiful professional production, and Wayne State University is where I went, and we had this little, like, shoebox, hatbox, little studio theater, and it was so intimate and pretty, and everybody said it was the best show they'd ever seen for years. It was just so charming. And so when I put together my Sheldon Harnick show, there's like every song in that show is a gem, and I pulled five songs from She Loves Me to be in my show, and I'd love to add another one. There's a couple more of the soprano songs I'd love to show, but we do jazz and swing versions of them. But I also, in my show, sing three of the men's songs. I sing He Loves Me, She Loves Me, you know, He Loves Me, the opening. And then I sing Tonight at 8, which is his song. And then I sing two or three of hers. So it's like there's five in my show, and I'd love to add another one, like Dear Friend. Yeah, it's just, it's so brilliantly written. But even as a 21-year-old, I could tell that he was so, Sheldon Harnick was so insightful into the characters, because he wrote things in that show. You know, the shop around the corner, the film, Jimmy Stewart film, and then it became the Meg Ryan show. Is that called The Shop Around the Corner? You know, the one that she did? I can't remember the name of it. But they did one. You've Got Mail. You've Got Mail.
Oh, You've Got
Mail.
Yeah,
no, You've Got
Mail,
where they're pen pals, you know, through the internet. But the original...
Yeah,
the original, and also I think Meet Me St. Louis is from the same theme. But all that to say, Sheldon's lyrics, it occurred to me only about a year ago, that he wrote all the details of the characters into the lyrics. And he had actually said when he wrote this around 1963 or so that that was the first time he ever felt that he really got into the heart, soul, and mind of a character. And so I still remember he wrote things about her inner thought life, her desires, her favorite music and art. And she was really, really cultural, and she loved, like, classical music, Renoir art. And all that came from Sheldon's brain, and he put it into the character. So if you have the opportunity to ever play that role, he gives you all the gems in the lyrics of the singer and not in the book of the show.
Mm.
And that's the only thing that, you know, I didn't like about You've Got Mail after I fell in love with the story is that, you know, they're hip, they're trendy. They don't really love finer art and music like he originally had written into She Loves Me. But there was just a lot of magic in his lyric writing, and that's one of the other reasons I love that show. It's magical. Mm.
I had a feeling it was one of your favorites. I didn't want to say the favorite because you've done so many, so, you know.
Yeah, it was probably my favorite to do, but I also loved, like I said, The All-Night Strut. I loved Wonderful Talent. I played Eileen, the Kooky Sister. I love that show because it's Bernstein, and the music is so brilliant, and my solo went up to high D, you know, like operatic. And I loved all the different shows for different reasons, but The All-Night Strut was great because it gave me actually, I started my real jazz quartet chops in high school and college, but then I did it at Opryland, and then I also did it in All Night Strut. And I love swing, and we worked with these fabulous Detroit musicians. Ralph Armstrong was just featured on the Jazz's magazine website, which is great as an interview. He worked with Miles Davis and all these guys, Aretha. And then a guy named Billy Cairo was our drummer, and these guys traveled worldwide with the jazz players, and they were my musicians in the show. And then the brilliant Ed Wells is his name, and he was the pianist jazz arranger of our show. So I love all these shows for different reasons, but musically that show was so fulfilling, especially the Christmas stuff that we did, because the arrangements were just truly incredible. But yeah, She Loves Me has got to be probably most definitely my favorite book show, but I also love Most Happy Fella. I was cast once to do Music Man, which is one of my other favorites, for a role, but I got sick and I couldn't sing and speak for a while, and that was the only time ever that I had that degree of voice loss. So I'd love to do that. Most Happy Fellow is one of my favorite shows, Frank Lesser, but there's just so many beautiful. Well, I love Light in the Piazza, too. That's a brilliant, beautiful show. So, yeah, I have a lot of favorites. But she left me at the spot.
I'm hoping you and everybody gets back to doing their thing real soon, because I need it. We all need it. Everybody needs to enjoy it.
Thank you, Joanne.
You need to do it, too. You know, it's good for you. You know what I mean? It's something you do it because you love it, and you're missing your love. You know, it's just crazy.
That's exactly right. And I think this pandemic is going to make artists come out like never before. It's helping people prioritize. And I already kind of decided what I want to do with the rest of my life. I want to keep creating music and getting it out there. And a lot of people are fine tuning. You know, it's not about the bigger house, the bigger car. It's not about the, you know, whatever. What do I want to do with the rest of my life? And it makes things more important. And I think anybody with creative juices are going to go more the direction of art after this. That's just my own feeling.
Well, I'm going to ask you that. This just came off the top of my head because I know what my resolution is. I'm not a resolution person because I don't stick with it. So this year I am. What is your New Year's resolution?
What is my resolution?
Do you have one? Are you into this?
No, but I usually do. I usually do, but last year went right out the toilet. I don't know, because I've been kind of living mine, which is to use the money that I am making, obviously, to continue to get rid of what debt I have left and to pay bills, but really to put my money and my resources toward making music. And I would say my challenge, and I've been getting all my acting tools together this year. Next up, a friend of mine, the guy that runs the Great American Songbook radio station, Rene Dusen, he's been a great support. He featured my CD for 2 or 3 weeks on his station last year. But he's helping me put together one of my old voice demos that I haven't had re-updated in years. And before that, I just finished my little video for my my film reel. And then I'm submitting, I just got new headshots. All that to say, artists have to have their tools. Actors have to have their tools to get booked and get agents. And, you know, I have agents, but I need some that are a little bit more close to New York. So all that to say, my resolution is probably to get myself out there on a higher level. Because all my tools are almost ready. And you have to have these days, unlike the days of Shirley Jones, who was spotted in the chorus of a show like Oklahoma, and they decided to make her the movie lead, and Ethel Merman, who they wrote shows for, and Mary Martin, you know, we have to get ourselves out there. We have to be seen in order to audition for things and to be cast in things. And so that will probably be my resolution, is get my stuff out there on a higher level so that people can see my work. I'll say that's
it. Nice. Go ahead. I can talk all night. We have to say goodbye soon, so you say whatever you need to say.
Okay. My last thing is, I want to use my gifts and talents to touch the hearts and change the lives of others. That's the biggest thing, and that's been one of my motivators for a long time. That's why I pick good music and good lyrics. So that's my higher, I would say higher calling, my higher focus.
Right. Nice. Well, Jennifer, we've actually run out of time, believe it or not. It was a pleasure having you on, and I what a lovely conversation. Thank you so much. It was so nice to meet you. And, yes, I'll definitely get your songs on Christmas Eve, and if I don't talk to you, have a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Thank you so much.
And you too, Joanne. Thank you for having me, and thank you for the wonderful conversation.
Oh, thank you. I had a pleasure. It was my pleasure. I had a wonderful time.
Me too. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. Jennifer Roberts, thank you so much for joining us. We're running short on time. I'm so sorry. Tomorrow night we have Simon Lunch. He's got a new song out. Grace. And it's really good. And I can't wait to have him on 8 p.m. And Christmas Eve we decided to do a Christmas show. No guests. Just music. I'm sorry. I have to introduce the music. I'm sorry. I know you don't want to hear from me. I got to hear the music myself. So thank you to our sponsors. I want to get all in. And thank you to Jennifer Roberts. Take care, everybody. Enjoy Jennifer's music on the way out. A Child is Born.